Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship on this Pentecost day. We are glad you are here. Our first reading this morning will remind us that Pentecost is a time that celebrates God giving the Holy Spirit to the church. The old and the youth will prophesy together from all languages and cultures. So join us in this time of worship led by our young people.
The word of the Lord to the prophet. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Let us worship the triune God, creator, sustainer, and redeemer.
Book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard speaking in native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet of Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letters to the church in Rome, the eighth chapter, beginning with verse 22. Listen for the word of the Lord. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we have saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what is we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The word of the Lord.
I'm gonna sing to the Spirit, voice in my heart. I'm gonna sing to the Spirit, voice in my heart. I'm gonna sing to the Spirit, voice in my heart. I'm gonna sing to Jesus Christ. I'm gonna sing to the Spirit.
Oh, Our gospel reading this morning comes actually not from Luke as it's marked in the bulletin, but it comes from the Gospel of John with selected chapters from selected verses from chapter 15 and 16. Listen for what the Spirit has to say to the church this day. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord.
When I first entered middle school, it was a whole new world filled with new rules and more independence. I did as I was told without understanding why. I tried my hardest to follow rules to fit in with the rest of the student body, not knowing exactly what was going on. After 3 years of navigating middle school, it has become custom to me. I learned how to time manage writing multiple essays, how to get into the library when my friends and I wanted to do homework, and how to get extra food from the cafeteria. I now understand the interior of middle school, while in my first year, I could barely understand the exterior. I now fully understand the language of middle school, while at first, it was a confusing new culture. My experience of middle school is similar to the story of Pentecost found in Acts. In sixth grade, my classmates and I found ourselves among a bunch of different people from different worlds used to different ways of life. Now, 3 years later, we all know and understand each other. In Acts, people of different nations were all living in the same place, but they all spoke different languages and couldn't communicate. God wanted everyone to understand each other so that they could be more united. He noticed that everyone was trying to talk to each other, but they were having a difficult time. God sent the Holy Spirit to help people of different cultures better understand each other. When first reading Acts 2, verses 1 through 21, I took the story to be saying that God gave everything he could to humans to make spreading his word easier for them. This led me to realize that if God did everything possible and his word wasn't shared with everyone, it would be the fault of humans. This, I believed, was God's intention, because it meant that God was always right and never at fault by making it so he couldn't be blamed for anything. I knew that was not what the story was trying to teach us, or at least the whole story, so I read it a few more times and came to a better conclusion. Yes, God made it easier for us to share the word, not so humans could be blamed if something went wrong, But God did it for the reason that he simply just loved us and wanted to make our lives a little easier. No catch, no trick, but just to help us. This helped me to see that God never did anything for his benefit but for ours alone. Like on Christmas, when God gave us Jesus, that was an act of pure love, giving everything to help us. I don't think that I've ever truly understood this concept until going through confirmation, learning about not just God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but about our connection to them. Thinking about us as a congregation and about how God gives everything, I now better understand why we do things like the homeless shelter or the Thursday open tables. I used to think that we did it just to help people and to be nice. While this is true, I now can see that what everyone meant when they said that we are doing God's work. We are giving everything to help everyone. We are physically trying to walk in Jesus' footprints. These are all the things that I have been told multiple times in my life since I was 4 years old, but never truly understood the beauty of giving just to give until this year in confirmation. This is a lesson that I can carry with me throughout my life, and it will stay with me, reminding me that God is always walking with me, generously helping me so that I can better serve others. I am very grateful for the love that this congregation has shown towards me and each other. Confirmation has allowed me to see more fully what it means to be the church, understanding how much others have done for me and encouraged me to help others.
Following the story of God's gift of the Holy Spirit to the church in Acts, we find Paul's letter to the Romans. At the beginning of this verse, Paul uses an interesting metaphor. The whole creation, he says, groans in labor pains. Its condition is like a woman giving birth to a child. Something is about to happen, something big and something grand. This whole passage focuses on the idea of adoption and children. Paul describes us as waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies. We wait for the adoption of God's forgiveness and the second coming of a Savior. He then switches tracks, explaining that our job as Christians is about to become harder. We are going to have to believe blindly. There are no more seeable miracles or parables, and we only have the Bible to guide our prayers. But Paul tells us the groaning and the blindness we have is not futile, but looks with hope towards the new world being made. The redemption will mean life and freedom. Life, for now though, must be characterized by patience, a watchful, expectant waiting that does not give up, even when we see nothing to indicate redemption is there. These times of waiting remind me of waiting for Christmas presents. As a child, Christmas is one of the most exciting things to happen during the year. Now, as a Christian, it still is, but because Jesus is about to be born, and not because I get to have presents. My family always has this ritual of getting up late on Christmas, or at least to a five-year-old, what is considered late. No matter what time I actually woke up, I had to wait in my room until 8:30 a.m. for my presents. This was mostly put in place so that the rest of the house could wake up naturally and not be shaken awake by my cries of presents and the stampede that would surely follow. So my five-year-old self would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. Do you know how long 2.5 hours is to a five-year-old? Because believe me, it felt like eternity twice. This waiting, I now realize, was just the same kind of waiting that Christians do every day for Jesus. We struggle inwardly with our faith and our belief. During these times, Paul reminds us that we are not alone and that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Even when we do not know what words to pray or how to articulate our feelings towards God, Paul tells us the Spirit will be there with sighs too deep for words, paralleling between our own groaning. The Spirit groans with us and relays to God our prayers. But even with this, we may still have questions. Every day, I myself have questions about God. Why are there people out there who suffer? We have God, so why is our world plagued by terrible acts? We have to remember that this questioning is about being a Christian. God calls us to ask these questions in order for us to be active in our community and the world, in order to make a difference. If we see injustice in the world, we should try to fix it and not shy away from God's calling. But we may still have questions. Our grasp of God's will and God himself is limited.
How can we pray for what we have not seen and have difficulty imagining? Sometimes I think we forget that faith is meant to be hard. It's meant to be blind and unbelievable. But that's what makes it faith. Too often, we might believe that followers of Jesus can bypass suffering. After all, isn't Jesus and God here to make our lives easier, to make them good? So when there are no signs and blind faith is introduced, we begin to doubt. This is normal in why the Bible is here. It's why we are here for each other as a church and congregation and community in order to help each other stay on the path of faith. It's important for us to remember Paul says that the life of faith is not validated by external signs from heaven. Rather, we hope for what we do not see and believe that the Spirit is there and God is there. The Holy Spirit guides us through the trials of our lives. Paul also insists that there is no exemption from suffering for believers. Being children of God, filled by the Spirit, does not remove us from the suffering of creation. Faith is meant to be hard, just like waiting for Christmas presents is. As people in Christ, we can expect to share in his sufferings on behalf of a world in pain. As the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, at odds with the powers of sin and death, we experience conflict and suffering, yet we are not driven to despair. The Spirit groans with us and intercedes for us, giving us hope and the promise of redemption. I think this passage has connected very well to my faith journey. These weeks where I've come to church and spoken about God have influenced me in a way that I can only now be able to articulate. Paul explains that sometimes faith is hard to believe in, and I certainly find it difficult sometimes. Imagining that I actually have to believe in the resurrection or the Immaculate Conception was such a challenge when I started my confirmation classes, especially because there was no guide. But there always is. We have the Holy Spirit, the Bible, and most of all, each other. Faith is meant to be hard, but that's what makes it faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope. By the powers of the Holy Spirit, Alleluia, Amen.